Book of Luke, chapter 8. And if I can find my notes, we'll be in good shape. If I can't, we'll just go off the hip. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of places we could be. We could be in jail. I've almost been there. We can be in there, and we could be there. I could be fishing. I'd probably drown, I probably wouldn't catch any. Well, that's true, too. That happens, you know. Never mind. I got a joke on that one, but I'll leave it alone. Luke chapter 8. Let's all stand reverence to God's word. Luke chapter 8. And we'll start at maybe verse 4. I think that's where. No, let's start at verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city. That's talking about Jesus. And village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuz, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. He said, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their mouths, that lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for those that are here this morning. Ask this morning, Lord, that you would open their hearts and minds to your word. Lord, that you would help them to take it in and to discern it, and Lord, to receive it. And Lord, if there is one here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, or in the sound of my voice, that Lord, that they would today realize that they need you in their lives, that they need to call upon you, and that you will save them, and they will have eternal life. And Lord, we thank you for that. I ask you to hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. You may be seated. One of the saddest things that a pastor has to deal with in life and has to face is a believer, and sometimes faithful believers, falling by the wayside, throwing in the towel. You know, they are unfortunately getting deceived by false teachers, because we have false teachers out there that draw them. But they draw them really because of their own lust. They don't like what they're hearing. They get a little offended by something, and it draws them. And it's sad, and the Bible tells us that this is going to happen, especially in the last days. And be honest with you, we're living in the last days. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, but the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to listen to sound doctrine. They're not going to listen to the teaching of the truth. That ain't what they want. They want to hear some kind of mumble-jumble, watered-down bunch of mess. It says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to heap to themselves people that will make them feel good about what they're doing. Listen, if a drunk don't want to drink no more, then he goes to the right place to get away from that. But if he calls up his buddy who's a drunk too, they're going to help each other a lot, aren't they? Yeah. Go get another drink. They don't want the truth. They want things that make them feel good. And so therefore, that's what they want to do. It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. See, they're getting that little itching on there. They're getting their ears tickled. And it makes them feel good. So they'll turn away from the truth. But the problem is they turn to fables. They turn to a bunch of hogwash. They turn to a bunch of lies. Some guy up there in a t-shirt and flip-flops and tie-dye jeans, which I wore when I was 14. And they want to listen to what he's going to tell them, because he don't get on them. He don't tell them, hey, you need to fix this. Oh, God's love. Well, I know God's love. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have sent his son. But he also wants the best for us, because listen, if we stay tangled up in the mess we're in, the end ain't gonna be good. I want a harmonious outcome. You know, I'm not interested in this feel good garbage. I want the real stuff, even though it makes me sometimes feel bad. But it's truly heartbreaking when people do that, when they turn. And honestly, we've witnessed it here at Wagon Wheel. We've seen people turn from the truth and they go seeking the fables, because that's what they want. They don't want the hard down truth. They did Jesus the same way. Jesus was teaching them and preaching to them, and they're like, whoa, now there's more than I bargained for. And they walk away from it. They don't like it when you preach against the world, because they like the world. They like the junk of the world, the garbage of the world that feeds you and makes you feel good. And they don't want to hear that the world's got problems. I'm going to be up front with you. If you don't think the world's got problems, ain't but one way to look at it, you're stupid. Because you know, but see, stupidity is different than just being plain down ignorant. Ain't nobody living in this day and time that's ignorant. I'm sorry. They can plainly see what's going on in this world. They plainly can see that the powers that be are against you if you're trying to live right. Amen. If you're trying to serve an almighty God, they are against you. There ain't no other way to see it. But no matter what happens, no matter how many people turn from us, even if it happens to be your family, we've got family, those that wasn't hatched. Some of us is hatched. No, all of us has got family, and some family think we're crazy. there's family that think, well, you're involved in some kind of cult. You know, you're with them doom and gloom guys. The world's coming to an end, and Jesus is going to miraculously take you out of here. Y'all crazy. That's what they think. Hey, I got news for you. Jesus is going to take us out. And they can stay down here all they want. I was, bless his heart, I was talking to a guy last night, and he's saved. There's no doubt to that, but he's a post-trib, and I'm a pre-trib. I'm going to take the first bus. If any of you want to take the second bus, that's fine. You want to put up with what's going on. But I'm going first, and I told him, I said, I'll hold the gate open for you. But, you know, I would have said I'll leave the light on for you, but I'm not Tom Baudet, so I can't say that. But listen, sometimes family are going to treat you bad. They're going to turn away from you. They're going to look at you like you're nuts. That's all right. You better stay with that right there. Let them think you're nuts. Listen, Jesus' own family thought he was nuts. He had two brothers that did not believe in him. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. You know, and okay, I get it, but they didn't. They didn't believe in him. And I guarantee you they made fun of him. But it doesn't matter what happens. You're going to have friends that turn their back on you. They're going to say, what are you doing? You know, you don't want to listen to that. That's crazy. But it's the truth. It's the Word of God. We should never be ashamed of our profession of Christ as Savior. Never be ashamed of our profession of Christ as Savior. Never be ashamed of sharing the gospel. Go out there and share the gospel. Be that example. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. In other words, it was offered to the Jews first, and the majority of the Jews said, nah. So they turned to the Gentiles, which, by the way, were Gentiles. There ain't nobody in here is a Jew, not that I know of. You might be somewhere back down. I'm supposedly, I think I got Scottish and Irish. My wife says I'm 57. I got Portuguese. Ooh. Anyway, they got good food. They speak weird, though. They don't quite understand Spanish. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. People think we're stupid to believe in an unemployed carpenter who died on a cross over in Jerusalem. They think you're dumb about that. But guess what? Unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. You see, unto us that have trusted the Lord, that's where we get our comfort from. We get our peace from that. We get our joy from that. That is the power of God working in our lives. Jude, I like what Jude said because I like, he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Me and Elmo was talking the other night. Elmo said, common salvation. He said, you ever thought about that? I said, yeah, we're all brothers in Christ. I said, there's folk think me and you crazy. Because we're brothers in Christ. But we are. God don't look on the skin color. God looks on the heart. It don't matter whether you're black, brown, green, or yellow. It's all about you were going to hell, and because of Jesus Christ, if you ask him into your heart, you can be saved. I got a kid that calls me. He texts my wife. He will in May. That's Mother's Day, isn't it? Yeah. He will in May. He'll say, happy Mother's Day, Mom. And he'll tell me, happy Father's Day, Dad. And I call him my chocolate son. And you can ask him where he's from. I'm a Texan. And this one lady, bless her heart, Shalonda. I love Shalonda. She was a sweet woman. Big woman. She was trying to tell him, be proud of your African roots. He said, huh? And she said, be proud of your African roots. He said, I'm from Texas, and I'm a son of the Almighty God. I said, okay, I get it. I'm not from England. My descent, my what do you call them? Forefathers might have been. Bless their heart, they didn't know no better, so they left. But anyway, you know, that's where the misfits lived. If you've ever watched Quigley Down Under, you'll know what I mean. But he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it's that salvation that brings us together. Nothing else in this world brings people together like the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we've all got something in common. That's Jesus. And it doesn't matter. Listen, he was a Hebrew. He wasn't a white boy. He wasn't a black boy. He was a Hebrew. That's what he was. He wasn't Mexican. He wasn't, I don't know what Jeff is. He wasn't Filipino. He was a Hebrew. But because of what he did, it brought us all together into one. We no longer got races. When it comes together, we are all children of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're either saved or we're lost. And when we come together in the common salvation, that common bond that brings us together, we can love each other. It don't matter what the government and everybody else tells us. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about love. God is love. That is a fact. And because of God's love, hey, we can come together and we can be one. That's what the Lord wants. But he says after that, he said, it's needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. The faith is under fire. We have to contend for it. They're teaching garbage in schools. They don't teach Jesus in school. There ain't no school that you can go to out there that's public that teaches you about Jesus. Now, they'll teach you about everything else. My word, they're bringing drag queens into kindergarten. Really? I mean, come on, people. What is wrong with you? But that's what they're doing. They don't want to teach the truth. We should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It was delivered unto us. It was delivered unto somebody that brought it to you, and you go all the way back. Don't get too worried. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But there's three reasons that I want to talk about why we should be steadfast, unmovable in the faith. Three main reasons that we really need to be steadfast and unmovable in the faith. We're going to get back to the sowers of the seed. We will. I know I started it out with that, and then we went off somewhere else. That's called a rabbit trail. But we see, one good thing about good beagles, if you got good beagles, when you turn them loose, they'll chase that rabbit, but they'll bring that rabbit right back by. They just work him around until they bring him right back by their master, their owner. And so you can have rabbit. You ever ate rabbit? Man, rabbit is good. Anyway, I better go on. Most people thought that was chicken. Three reasons. Here's the main one. One of the very first one. Our calling, it's a holy calling. Well, wait a minute, I ain't been called. Yeah, you have. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, God drew you. He called you. And it's up to us if we accept. But he called us to the Lord Jesus Christ to realize that's what we needed. You see, now I'm going to be up front with you. If there ain't never been a time in your life that you can say, well, you know, I don't know if I've trusted Jesus or not. I might go to heaven. I got news for you. If you think you might go to heaven, chances are you're going to go to hell. Because I got a no-so salvation. I ain't got a might-so. I got a no-so. I know that I'm going to heaven because the Word of God told me that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and if I believe in mine heart that God raised him from the dead, guess what? I shall be saved. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe that God sent Jesus Christ down to this earth to live among men, and he died in my place on the cross. of Calvary, shed his blood for my sins. And if I ask him to save me, if I believe that, listen, he'll save me. Doesn't matter what I've done. Well, I don't know, I've been bad. Well, Paul of Tarsus was bad too. I mean, he was hauling Christians off and he's feeding them to the lions. He's putting them up against gladiators. That's what all of the arrests was made that he was doing. He was persecuting them and they were killing those people. And Saul of Tarsus said, "Lord, who art thou?" Jesus saved him. You see, if we call on Jesus, we'll be saved. But it's a holy calling. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." You see, it's a holy calling that we're saved. Not according to works, but according to his own purpose and grace, amen for grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began, God provided us a way to be saved, and that was through Jesus Christ. You see, God says, listen, God walked among Adam, walked and talked with him in the Garden of Eden. "How you doing today, Adam?" "I'm doing okay." Then the Bible says later that God walked and talked with Enoch. 300 years. Now, his first 65 of his life, I ain't sure what he's doing. May not want to know. You know, it might be kind of like Brother Larry. I don't want to know what all he done up in... It's kind of like me. For, 45 years? I didn't... Well, anyway. So, here he is cruising along, and all of a sudden, God walking and talking with Enoch. For 300 years, he got it right with the Lord, and God was walking and talking with Enoch, and then one day, he just took him. By the way, that's a picture of what's going to happen to you if you save one day. One day, we're going to be sitting around at work or driving down the road or maybe sitting in church, and all of a sudden, poof, all your clothes will be there, your boots, rings, earrings, my stent, it'll be left there. I don't know how big that is. It ain't very big. Let me think. There it'll be. We're going to be gone. People are going to be like, "What happened to him?" Listen, that's a whole other message. But anyway, that's going to happen one day. But listen, God finally says, "You know what? Build me a tabernacle. I'm going to live amongst you in the tabernacle." They built a tabernacle, and in the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah glory light would come down and shine. Do you know what that means? God dwells there. It'd come down and shine on the what's that box? The covenant of the Ark of the Covenant. It'd shine down on that. That's where they went in there and sprinkled the blood once a year. And then they built a temple. Oh, and what a temple it was. And man, they went in there and they done their thing. And finally Jesus shows up. And Jesus said, "Moving out of your den of thieves. I don't want nothing to do with it no more." They were buying and selling in there, and they were doing ridiculous junk and causing people to, "You can't come in here, but you can," and "You can." Nah. It was all garbage. And the Lord said, "I'm done with that." But when Jesus died on the cross, and I'm going to tell you, if Satan had have known what would happen when Jesus died, he'd have done everything in his power to stop the crucifixion. Because when Jesus died, now we ask the Lord into our hearts, he's everywhere. Amen. God ain't just in the Garden of Eden. God ain't just walking along with Enoch. God wasn't just in the tabernacle. He wasn't just in the temple. Now he's everywhere that a person has trusted. It don't matter where I go, Jesus is right there with me. Which makes me ashamed sometimes of some of the places I've been. You see, listen. You got people that'll, you ever heard of fads? You know, you ever been mixed up in a fad? I've always dressed like I'm dressed now. You know, that's just me. But the fads, oh, you got to wear this and you got to wear that. And people get mixed all up in fads and you got to, it amazed me. I thought about starting some fads, but I thought, no, I better not. But anyway, it isn't just a fad. Listen, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we invite Him into our hearts, when we ask Him to save us, it's an unreal change. It's an internal change. And eventually it changes everything about you, and people see it. And guess what? It's the only thing on the face of this earth that you can do that'll matter in 100 years. Amen. It'll stick with you. Number two, it's a high calling. A high calling. There ain't a higher calling than to be a child of God. They just, what's that poor dude, Prince, whatever his name is, made everybody mad over there in England. He's an idiot. But here he is, Prince Harry. Him and that Meghan thing. Here he is. He's known as the Duke of wherever, I think, or something. Yeah, he was royal. Listen, I can't lose it. I am royal. Listen, when God called me, I'm royal. I belong to the Most High, the Almighty God that spoke everything into existence. I'm of royalty. Now, they don't roll out red carpet for me. But that's all right. I am. I'm of royalty. I got a mansion. I don't know about it being over the hilltop, but I got one. It's up there. New City, Jerusalem. One of these days, well, we don't want to get it. I'm going to be living there one day. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." And he says in verse 14, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." There is no other way to reach that top high calling except through Jesus Christ. Well, I believe in God and I talk to God and I ask God to save me. God ain't going to save you. You're going to get saved through Jesus Christ because that's how God laid it out to be saved. I've had people say, well, I ask God to forgive me, and I'm like, well, okay. Well, me and God's got it worked out. Well, do you got it worked out with Jesus? That's what you need. You got to have it worked out with Jesus. It plainly states in the Bible there's none other name, period, that you can get saved by except Jesus Christ. And He done that for a purpose because they say Allah is God. The Pope sports around here that He's God. You got all these other idiots out here that think they're God. They're not. But if you, that's why they get mad at you when you talk about Jesus. That's narrow-minded. That's tunnel vision. Well, praise God it is, because that's the only way to get to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through Jesus. Ain't nobody to lay their hand on you and say, yeah, you're going to heaven. Ain't going to do you a bit of good. You can't get baptized enough to get to heaven. Now, I can baptize you enough to drown you. Hold you down long enough, the bubbles quit coming up. You're going to go somewhere. But if you don't know Jesus, it ain't going to be heaven. It's got to be through Jesus Christ. It's got to be the fact that you ask Jesus. You see, that's what it takes. But now, he said, forget about the past. Listen, we're to learn from the past. Because if you don't, you mess up again. That's what America's doing. We're erasing all of the past because we've got to be woke. And we've got to cancel this and cancel that. they're going to woke all right. They're going to wake up one day in hell wondering what happened. They're going to be woke. Now, we learn from the past so we don't mess up again. We got to keep it in here what we did wrong. We learn from that, but we don't dwell in it. You see, believers should live a higher standard of life. We shouldn't live like we used to live. I've met some people that believers, and they ain't changed a thing of what they were doing. I got a feeling they ain't believers. Now, I don't know their hearts, but if there is no, I'm going to be up front with you. If you look back at when you supposedly got saved and you can't see that there's a change in your life till now, you ain't got saved. That's Southern English. You ain't got saved. In other words, you ain't got Jesus. I got Jesus, but you ain't got Jesus. If there ain't a change from the time you supposedly asked Jesus into your heart, then you better back up and figure out what I did wrong. You see, we should live at a higher standard of living. Titus 2:12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That was the world that Titus was living in. It's the world that George Washington lived in. It's the world that Abraham Lincoln lived in. And it's the world that we're living in. We need to do those things. We need to look at it and say, it's ungodly for me to dress that way. It's ungodly for me to act that way. It ain't being soberly. Sound mind. That's really what it means. You know, you mess your mind up pretty good. Doctors will help you mess your mind up too. They'll give you, I've looked and looked, and my brother-in-law said it on Facebook the other day. They got a pill for everything. Oh, my little toe hurts. We'll take a pill. Oh, this hurts. We'll take a pill. Oh, I don't feel like this. We'll take a pill. They'll get you strung out on that mess, and you need to understand why they're doing it. It's for their pocketbook. They don't give a rip about you. They all get kickbacks from the pharmaceutical companies. And what's scary, look up pharmaceutical and see where that began at. Now, hey, I got heart pills I'm supposed to take. High blood pressure, hypertension, Carvedilol, they call it. Now, you're not supposed to quit it abruptly, right? It ain't good for you. You know how many I got left? I take two a day, and I got four left. No, now I got three left. So I'm only going to take one a day for a few days because I've put off going to my heart doctor for so long, he forgot who I was. And he ain't renewing my prescription. I got to call him tomorrow and say, hey, dude, you told me not to dump this in a hurry. Well, you need to get in a hurry and call my medicine in. But I'm going to be, there's stuff out there we got to take, but there's stuff out there that messes with your head. Get off of that garbage. My brother-in-law, Sandy's brother-in-law, they lost their son years ago, 20-something years ago now. And they were having a hard time dealing with that. You know, the doctor, oh, here, you guys need this. And they started taking this mess. But there's never no grieving. There's never no sorrowful for anything you do. It's controlling your mind. It says right here, soberly, sound mind. You better think about it. Things that mess with your mind, you need to think about it because the Bible says stay away from it. Righteously, moderate living. Be decent. Godly, we ought to be living a life that people can see Jesus in our lives. It's not only a holy calling, it's not only a high calling, but it's a heavenly calling. It didn't come from down here on earth, didn't come from Washington, D.C., praise God. Hebrews 3:1 said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. He says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Who in the world appointed Jesus? God did. He was faithful to him. We need to be faithful. He said, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now we go back to Luke if you done left it. Luke chapter 8. You ever noticed over the years, I have, I know Brother Larry has, other people, that those who aren't saved, they drop off pretty quick. Man, they'll come to church and woo, they're on fire for the Lord. About 2 weeks. And then, poop, and you wonder what happened to them. Where'd they go? Well, it answers it right here. Verse 12 of Luke 8 says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. In other words, he comes along, you don't want to listen to that nut. Man, he's telling you, listen to what he said. They want you to give money. Your heart, I mean, they want to tell you what to do. They want to tell you you ought not to watch this, and you ought not to drink this, and you ought not to smoke that, and you ought not to go here and go there. That's what all they want to do. Oh, there ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. And boy, they get out of there. They even want to tell you how to dress. Lord, women don't wear pants. Show me that in the Bible. Anyway, woman want to wear pants, that's her business. I don't wear slacks, suit. I don't want to look like a drug dealer. You know, come in there in an Armani suit. People are going to figure you're a lawyer or a drug dealer. No. It's not about what you wear. It's what's in here. And the devil steals it. He takes it away, feeds you lies, so that guess what? I don't want nothing to do with that. That's what that's talking about. And I've seen it over the years. People come to church, and man, they're all on fire, and they want to get in here and go for it, and then poof, they drop off pretty quick. Ask one of them to pray. I had one time tell me, don't ever ask me to pray again. I won't ever come back if you do. I'm like, really? And then I had one in a church, supposedly, he was a treasurer, come up to me and said, you don't really believe all that garbage, do you, about Genesis? And I'm like, are you serious? Yeah, in a Baptist church. Believe that. Oh, and then you got those who are saved. Those who are saved. Oh, look at verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. But they don't have any root. Which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And they that which fell among the thorns. When they heard it, they go forth. And then they're choked out with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And bring no fruit to perfection. Those that are saved, here's the problem. They don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they got in, and man, they were on fire, and they give you a good testimony, and some of them you baptize, and boy, they just on fire sometimes for 6 months, sometimes for years. And then a little bit of trouble come along, you know, a little bit of problems fired up. You wasn't doing things quite their way. They said something you didn't quite agree with. Well, I'm out of here. You know, yep, you've seen them. I ain't going to that church no more. Bunch of hypocrites. But they all go down to Walmart. Same hypocrites at Walmart. Think about that. I ain't hanging out with a bunch of hypocrites down at the Baptist church. But you go hang out with the same ones at Walmart. Don't make sense. But they get all bent out of shape because, well, this didn't go the way I thought. Or the preacher, well, he just preaches too much on this or he preaches too much on that. Well, bless your heart. I'm going to just preach the word of God. If you don't like it, take it up with God. You know, it ain't my problem. But they do get mad at you. I'm the deliverer, you know. They threw Jeremiah in the stocks, and a lot of them, they killed them. And they just the deliverer. I mean, maybe I need a bulletproof, but no. You know, they just fall away. Listen, and they probably are saved. But what do? They turn from the truth because it ain't what they want to hear. And they go to these watered down places that call themselves a church so they can hear what they want to hear. You don't push the issue of what they... One of the biggest problems that I've had over the years is because I stand on the King James Bible. That right there has cost me more people in the church. Well, I won't say me. That's cost God more people in the church is because I stand on the King James Bible, and I'm going to stand on the King James Bible. And that's just because I believe it's the Bible the Lord wanted us to have. I don't believe, I'm sorry, I'm just not that naive to think that God didn't arrange a Presbyterian king to bring these 40-something authors together, not authors, but theologians, to write the Word of God without commentary and to get it out there because he didn't like what the Catholics had, he didn't like what the Puritans had. He said, I just want a Bible with God's Word. I don't think the man was that smart. I believe God put that in him and said, you do. Well, he wasn't even a saved man. I don't know if he was or not. Well, neither was King Nebuchadnezzar. God used him in a mighty way. Neither was Alexander the Great, that pervert. He died of syphilis at, what, 30-something years old. God used him to arrange the known world to where they all spoke Koine Greek so that when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, they all understood it. It wasn't all scattered out in all these different languages. They all spoke Koine Greek. God used him. God used, I believe, King James and got these people together. And for 300 and so years, that was fine. And then all of a sudden, God goes, oh, what am I doing? And they made another Bible. I'm sorry. I don't believe that. I'll go to my grave with the King James. That's what I'm going to stand on. I got some, man, I can't get into all that. There's some churches and some association that are falling apart. I'm going to tell you why. Because they're opening up whatever old Bible they want to open up, and they're all reading out of it, and they're going against this one, and God ain't happy with that. He's not happy with that. I told a guy the other day, I said, I have lived long enough that I have seen churches that drop the King James Bible. Oh, we don't want to use that no more. That's old school. We can't understand it anyway because, listen, people back in the day was a whole lot smarter than the folk are now. they really were because they can understand it. But we want to use this one and we want to use that one and we want to use this. I have seen churches are falling apart because of it. I've seen families, homes destroyed because they will not stick to the King James. People can say, oh, that's garbage. No, it ain't. My sister's family, downhill, because they started using the NASB. Listen, they take out the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D. They take out the word blood. They leave verses out. They leave whole chapters out. And then the main one that really got me was Daniel 3:25 because it said they were cast into a fiery furnace and the other version say, and a son of the gods, little g, was in there with them. Now, if I ain't saved and if I have no idea and I just picked that up and read it, that don't mean a hill of beans to me. But when I read a King James and it says, the Son of God, capital G, was in there, that tells me Jesus was with them. What's that tell me today? That Jesus is with me today. Amen. But you see, people want to turn from that. They want to go off because they ain't got no root. You see, they ain't rooted and grounded in the Word of God. They don't have that special relationship. I planted a garden a few years ago. Brother Louie helped me water it, and Diane, Sandy and me watered it. But it was buried in a thing about this deep. But it just never could get the nutrients it needed because it couldn't get into the ground. You see, that's what happens to these people. They don't want to get buried up in there and don't want to get the roots sunken deep in there so that when the little bitty things that come across upset us, we don't go, "Ah, I'm done with church. I'm fed up with wagon wheel. I'm going to go over here." Because they know the truth. But see, they don't want that. Little trouble flares up. Things don't go their way, they leave. But now you've got those who have that close relationship. Look at verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." That's with endurance. In other words, maturity. They listen to the word. They study the word of God. They listen to godly people that's bringing the word, and they dig and they ask the Lord to open their hearts and their eyes to the truth of the matter, and they get involved in it, and they're like, "That upsets me because I like doing that, but I got to walk away from that. That ain't good for my kid, or that ain't good for my wife or my husband. I shouldn't do that." They don't want to go that route. People just don't. But these people do. They say, "Oh, this is the word of God. This is what I need in my life." You see, the Apostle Paul, he's a great example for us. Turn over here and we're almost done. Don't panic. 2 Corinthians, I was going the wrong way. Yeah, it's after Genesis. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul, he's one of my favorites. Probably the greatest missionary other than Jesus that walked the face of this earth. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. Well, I can't get there. And verse 22, he says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. And they ministered of Christ. Are they ministered of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prison more frequent. In deaths off of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." And then he says, I love it, he adds this in there. "Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was left for dead. Actually was dead at one time. Some say he wasn't. I think he was. Got up and went back into the same city. And we get a little bit out of shape. "I ain't going to church there no more. I'm going somewhere else where they knocked that away." That's just rebellious. Rebellion is witchcraft. But the Apostle Paul, he wasn't a quitter. You see, when we are quitters, You see, those of verse 15 of Luke 8, that's not a quitter. That's a person that gets a hold of the Word of God and says, you know what, I don't understand all this. I don't get it. I don't even like some of it. But I'm willing to study it and take it in and let God help me. That's the whole idea behind it. That's not a quitter. When we are quitters, it affects the lost people that know you. You see, when people walk away from churches and when they leave a church, it affects the lost people. It affects other Christians. Man, when you got people that are in church and you've known them for years, and then all of a sudden they just, well, I'm not putting up with that anymore, and they leave. That affects other Christians. Peter said one time, I'm going to go fishing. He pretty much said, I'm done with this. He took about 7 with him. Well, we going with you. They felt like idiots later. Quitting will affect the church, its testimony in the community, its mission works that it has, but probably worst of all, it affects your children. You see, it affects the children that we have. When they see quitters, it affects the children. Now, our honest prayer, it ought to be, please, God, give me strength, courage, and endurance to never quit. In Luke 8:15, he says 6 main words you need to remember. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Make sure you're hearing what the Lord wants you to hear. We need to take heed to that, because the devil will come along and feed you with whatever he wants to pull you away. The devil will come along and man, he'll say, hey, this person shouldn't be this way to you. The devil will come along and give you all the encouragement you need. And he's an angel of light. It sounds good. But he's got the wool pulled over your eyes. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Let's stand, Sister Diane, if you'll come up. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. No one looking around. We're going to have an invitation here in a moment. And that's when you need to ask yourself, am I listening to the Lord? Am I truly listening to the Lord? Most kind and gracious.